If you could wave a magic wand and go back to 2002, would you do it?
And the Thursday night win over the New York Jets, was that an all-time Browns moment in Cleveland, Ohio? Sure seemed like it.
And I saw True Detective for the first time ever. We'll talk about it all on the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
Yeah, I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. By the way, that open with The Sopranos, I asked you, I saw something on Twitter, because I follow a Sopranos person on Twitter. Have you seen Adriana lately?
No. You mentioned this earlier.
Holy smokes.
I didn't even have a chance to go watch it because I didn't want to be distracted, because that certainly happens sometimes.
Better than what she looked like in the show. Congratulations to her.
So you know what? I'm not going to look it up now either.
No, I kind of want you to look it up on your, because I want to hear the live. Well, just look up on Instagram. It's fine. Okay. I want to hear the live reaction. Drea De Matteo, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes the names,
she was on Sons of Anarchy too.
I never saw, and I know a lot of people said it was really good.
People always have to remind me, Meadows, who played Meadow?
Meadow Lark Lemon.
Okay.
Meadow was, oh my God, she dated Turtle.
I know, that's why I'm like,
yeah.
Who is the son? Aren't they on a podcast together?
They are on a podcast together.
And I don't know their names.
I've seen it pop into my feed a couple times lately. And I have no clue what that is.
I think she does like a commercial for drugs. Or for like a drug you can take for something.
Here.
For fentanyl?
Hi,
no.
It's
no.
Anthony Lima for meth.
Hey, that's another member of the Lima family.
Jamie Lynn Sigler.
Don't believe what you've seen.
Thank you. Did you look her up?
I did.
She's
certainly
unbelievable.
Kept that physique.
Unbelievable.
Oh, she's got kids? Wow.
She's got children.
Oh my goodness.
Good for her. I mean, credit where it's due. We're equal opportunity. I mean, I'll say.
Half a million followers.
Yeah.
All right.
That's amazing. I was like, what is this?
Yep.
It's like, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Brought to you by Extend.
Put the phone down. Let's continue.
Sopranos? Where's it on your all-time shows?
I still have Mad Men number one.
Me too.
Breaking Bad number two. And again, I didn't see Game of Thrones, I didn't see Sons of Anarchy, and I'm probably not ever going to. I didn't see Dexter. That one I might. People have been telling me I should.
Dexter, I watched much later, and it was very good.
Yep.
I watched the first episode ever of True Detective over this last week.
So
the one where he goes, you better start asking the right bleeping questions.
This is Woody Harrelson.
And I didn't know they change people every season. Yeah.
Oh, my
I didn't
God,
know
that. Kenny, this is all we've been doing. We skip season two based on 100% of people telling me, skip season two, go to season three. Went to season three with actor's name who I can never pronounce.
For which show?
Meshumbapolitan Ali.
Yep.
Oh, Mershala Ali.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mariska Hargitay.
This season three is amazing, and it's all leading up to now what will be a season four.
Also set up well.
That's going to debut at the end of January. So I don't know that I have a reason to go back to season two.
Yeah.
Maybe down the road.
That's where I'm kind
Vince
of excited.
Vaughn and Colin...
Firth.
Firth or Farrell or Firth?
Farrell.
I think Liz didn't understand because she's like, I want to see this show. It's about true crime, but it's an HBO show. And she didn't, because the characters change. And she didn't know, because I was like, well, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. True Detective. Yeah. I watched the first.
They are so good.
Episode when you came in.
They are so good, Kenny. And the way it's shot, the way that the idea of revisiting with these guys at different times of their lives.
Yeah.
FX the has acting's been doing amazing. This stuff for a little while. I know this True Detective was. It started a while ago, right?
Yeah.
It was like right after Woody Harrelson won an Oscar, I think, for the Dallas Buyers Club thing. Mm. But I wanted to see. There's a new Fargo.
Yeah, I heard it's great.
And it's
It's
John Hamm is in it, and I want to see it because of that.
And he's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see Fletch, though.
The
redo.
I didn't either.
I want to see. Oh, guess what movie I saw for the first time ever over the week?
Jurassic Park.
No. What? No. The Jerk.
I just started watching The Jerk.
I had never seen The Jerk.
I just watched it 2 weeks ago.
It must be showing up.
Yes. I'm telling you, and I saw it for the first time ever, and I'm like, this is funny. Good stuff.
I'm about 40 minutes in.
It's the first time that I watched it when I was 18 or 19. Like, I watched Caddyshack then too, and I was like, this isn't as good as my stuff.
Oh, I
and
got,
now I'm like, no, it's good.
I got there's a couple of guys I know who are older, and they're friends, and they're older. Like their kids are in high school and stuff like that, and they had kids late in their lives, so they're like in their 60s now. And they get very agitated that I said, I've seen Animal House a couple times. Like, they do not believe that you can only see Animal House, like, twice. Like, they're always quoting Animal House. I'm like, well, that's great, but my, you know, mine is probably, right. Name any of the ones of mid to late 90s, early 2000s, and even some of those things have not held up as well, but are still classic comedy movies, things like that. You know, the Happy Gilmores, the Billy Madisons, you know, that type of thing, even though it's almost the same movie in a lot of ways. Either way, Tommy Boy, you know, to me, Tommy Boy is that's, to me, that's my generation's Animal House in a lot of ways. Tommy Boy is just amazing. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's other people that that hold it in their own high regard. Because, you know, and now it's become the golden age, the last stand of comedy, because nobody makes comedies anymore, because, well, they're afraid they're going to get in trouble, so nobody makes a good comedy anymore. So, that's sad, but it's true. Anywho, I just want to know. Yeah, but I saw the first episode. I liked the first episode, but I know Liz isn't going to watch it with me. So now I have to.
Sarah was into it, and I didn't think she would like
it
at all.
Liz was not.
Sarah doesn't like anything I like, and she's engrossed in True Detective.
I was surprised she wasn't interested. She didn't seem to be interested in it. And so I'm going to have to find time on my own to watch True Detective. All right, want to know. Thursday, we're brought to you by Extend. By the way, Thursday, this coming Thursday, I do, 2 days from now, I do want to review Wrestlers.
Yeah.
Okay? I saw it in one day. I was engrossed. We'll talk about it. I'm fighting everything I can not to just take the wheel of the truck and drive it right into Wrestlers and just do a Wrestlers thing. Was Thursday night the best night in Browns history since 1999?
So I'm so mad that I went to the two games prior and didn't go to this game. So I only have so many dates, as you guys know.
Yep.
House arrest. I got the ankle bracelet. I can't.
It's called fatherhood, Anthony. Stop calling it house arrest.
You call it whatever you want. All I know is my rights have been taken away from me.
It's called spouse.
My rights have been taken away from me, and I'm not permitted to leave the house, or I feel I'm guilt tripped if I leave the house. With that said, Sarah allowed me to go to the Bears game, and that was on short notice.
Okay. We got an invite, got a good spot.
We had a great time for that, and then the Jacksonville game.
She was
great
with
that. Where I sat in a suite, and that was great.
Well, you make her out to be a bit of a...
But she did let me, yeah, she let me.
Pain.
I couldn't reasonably, especially with her, she's 4 to 5 weeks out now, I couldn't reasonably take off another Sunday where she knows it's not just, oh, I'm going to go to the game from 1 till 4, I'm home at 4:15. No, if I go to a, or if that was a night game. So
the
night game starts at what time? 8:15?
Yeah, but you need to get down there at what time?
Oh, God, yeah.
She it knows, you know, the American people know, if you're letting me out of the house for that, I'm leaving at 4 and coming home at 2 in the morning.
The cat's away.
So there's just no way. So downtown. I didn't even bring it up as a possibility. I only have so many of these left before the second baby comes. It's not happening. I have great regret. I would have traded the other two games to go to that one. What a pep rally. To have a full night. I mean, I still left the house. I went over to Keith's house right across the street.
Yeah, you did.
And we watched down in his setup, and we had a blast. And I just sat there sipping bourbon going, I can't believe what I'm watching. Almost like the playoff game against Pittsburgh. Same exact scenario where, in that game, maybe you thought we were going to lose. We talked ourselves into hoping we would win. This Jets game, we knew they were going to win from moment one.
Okay.
I didn't know it was going to be Patrick Mahomes looking, Joe Flacco looking like Patrick Mahomes. I didn't know that.
There were a lot of people. I kept asking for reassurance because I had a weird feeling. It was Keith who gave me the reassurance of everybody. I had no reassurance from anybody else. I talked to a lot of people. They're like, yeah, no, man.
That defense, the Jets defense.
Their defense is pretty good. But
supposedly coming back next year.
This is what sucks about not having a show leading up to that, is I didn't get to say any of this on the air. I only got to say it in the pregame. But the pregame's the pregame.
It's like, different.
Like, I'm not going to sit there and go on a me-style rant and rave and get in a fight.
Got things you have to do.
Yeah, during 8-minute segments where it's a pregame. Or even on the preview show. If I were with you, I got to make this point a little bit, but I didn't really get to nail it down. I'm going, guys, look at their rush defense. Their rush defense is 24th in the league.
You can't
people
run the ball
aren't on passing
them.
On them because yeah. they don't have to.
Maybe you can't run
They're
on Houston.
Running the ball.
Maybe and Jacksonville.
And what did Jerome Ford do? He was great. Oh, Pierre Strong was a fire plug. Kareem Hunt went right down the balls of things and went right to the end zone.
It opened up everything.
Yes. And I'm going, they're not. I go, their defense is good in name only. It's the same thing. They're going through the same frustration I think we did before. So one day it's going to click with the right person, obviously. But I think they're going through the same things we did where it's like, our pass defense is so good. Why is all this? And it's like, well, you're just. A lot of things aren't going the right way for you. Like, we used to have, I remember the one time we were seventh in pass defense, and I kept making this point, and I'll give Zach credit. Zach's like, Kenny, the rush defense is 28th.
Yeah.
They're not having to throw the ball against you. Stop it. I was like 26 at the time. And so then I just, you see rankings, rankings and numbers don't tell you everything, but when people see number two in pass defense, people freak out. I'm going, no, I watch the Jets. I do. I watch the Jets every week, and I shouldn't, but I do, even though they're definitely on the unwatchables list, guarantee it. And they were on probably the first iteration of that. I've watched the Jets every week because I find the Jets to be fascinating because I am so disgusted that they would have a franchise that just allows Aaron Rodgers to just dictate his terms any way he wants. You know, you can say whatever you want to about Watson. At least Watson has, like, there's a future there at 27 years old. Like, this is it with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And I just can't believe you would not allow yourself. I can understand you giving up everything, but I can't believe that you would just not have a plan B in case a 39-year-old
man
gets hurt.
They had Flacco last year. They said some very nice things out the door for Flacco, did they not?
Yes.
And sometimes that happens, sometimes that doesn't. It's tough to try to parse out and figure if it really means anything. But they really fondly thought of Flacco and what a pro he was. They must have truly thought that they couldn't have him there with Aaron Rodgers.
And
like, it didn't make any sense.
And I'm just so fascinated by the whole thing. Like, everybody's like, people are starting to get tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers, and I understand that. But I'm fascinated by it. Like, I'm watching the game on Thursday night with Axel, and Axel's like, is he a coach? And I looked up, and he had a headset, and I'm like, no, but he had a headset on. And his mouthpiece, he's talking into the mouthpiece on the headset. He's talking to somebody. Who's he talking to? And I went, well, you know what? Honestly, Axe, by now,
Joe
maybe
Rogan.
He is. Okay, well done. Maybe he is. By now, who knows what they're willing to allow him to do. I mean, they put him on the active roster. Why would you put him on the active roster?
Yeah,
you cut a guy, and you want to bring him on the active roster. For what? So he can get his work in? Like, there was it's nonsensical.
Although it has built up. I want to see Aaron Rodgers next year.
Yes. But it's part of the reason I said this today on the show. That game crystallized. It was such a perfect look into what the Browns have become and what they used to be. Because the Jets, Aaron Rodgers went down, and everybody went, well, this is not our year. And they have been in Cancun in their heads for 3 months.
They were making business decisions very early in that game.
Yes.
So you knew. The Browns just had to not screw it up at that point.
Because, hey, we won on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Great win. And it's right. And because of my nerves, I didn't want to see it. Like, I didn't stop taking notes till there was like a minute 19 left. I'm going, they're not coming back from three scores and no timeouts in a minute 19, Kenny. This is over.
Yeah, there was a dicey moment where it was a two-possession game.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, man, if something bad happens, this game could change. But in the end, you had a faith. Like, you had a faith in the team. So you asked the question about what it was like. So I told you, unfortunately, I wasn't down there.
The beginning.
So you got to be down there. My buddies, all to a man, said that was an all-time night. All-time Cleveland sports night. From the moment that game started, from the great stuff the Browns, remember, they've had years of trying to find stuff that works, to try to start a tradition, to try to have a home field advantage, to get people synchronized on the same page for pregame stuff and then into the game. And whatever, all those years of us kind of making fun of it, it worked. That stuff looked great on camera.
Yeah.
Everybody that was there at the game, it looked like they stayed till the minute the game ended. It looked like the entire stadium stood from start to finish. And it really created, and you need a good team to do this. You need a team that you finally buy into. I don't know if they bought into them, you know, weeks ago when the place was, you know, kind of empty for some of those games. I think they have bought in because you need a good team to facilitate this. The fans were all in, and you sometimes you're like, oh, it didn't really bleed over onto the TV. Nope. In this case, you could tell watching at home
talking about it.
How awesome that environment was. Kirk Herbstreit could not stop talking about it. I felt bad for his dog at one point. I'm like, man, you got to put some earmuffs or something on that dog because you know he loves that dog. And it's got to be too loud for that dog. Yeah. And that dog goes everywhere with Kirk Herbstreit.
My uncle, I used to go to National Trail Raceway for the Spring Nationals, NHRA Spring Nationals. Well, by that time, they were called the Pontiac Excitement Nationals. And they would have the Spring Nationals in June, which is weird. But either way, for the Pontiac Excitement Nationals, I remember my uncle confronted somebody. They brought their dog.
Ooh, it's so sad.
We were talking 1,100 horsepower here, and it's like, this is a bad decision for you bringing your dog. Because my uncle didn't care. He was confrontational with everybody.
They did it on fireworks and gunshot night.
Probably not a good idea. My uncle was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because my uncle had poodles, and he was obsessed with those dogs. He had one named Randy and one named Buttons.
Randy.
Randy with an I.
Randy Buffington.
Listen to that. That show Randy yeah. Buttons in the morning.
I mean, that dog, he loved those dogs. Anyway, sorry, but yeah.
So
great atmosphere.
It looked like an all-time atmosphere, and of course, you didn't have a playoff game at home for the Pittsburgh season. The year you go into Pittsburgh and win
since '99.
And what home games were really memorable that season? Again, COVID. It kind of hurt that entire era. So now you got to go almost outside of the Browns and compare it to Cavs and Indians, which I saw people were doing.
Mm.
And I don't think you need to sit there and go, this is better, this is better. But, man, it was an all-time night, and I am so devastated that I ended up going to the Bears and Jacksonville games and not this game because it should have been this one. Should have been this one. I missed out.
So I got there. Pregame started at 4:30. I pulled into downtown at 3:50, and I'm like, thank God I did not wait any longer because it was – because you're off that week.
Who was working Friday? Well,
but other Unless people are working. Yep. And so there's people leaving downtown for work. There are people driving into downtown already. There's been people there partying all day.
If you've taken the week off from work because it's the end of the season for you or end of the year.
It was a madhouse.
You're coming down and hitting the bars.
It was people just walking out into traffic. Like you're going down 9th at like 10 miles an hour, lower than that, creeping along because they were walking in traffic. Finally, they got some cops out there and kind of had some order. But for a while, it was nuts. Like pulling around the Hall of Fame, usually it's 8 a.m., so it's a ghost town. I mean, there's people there getting ready to go into the stadium to work.
On a Sunday, too. So,
but it's not – everybody's over at the Muni lot or at the pit already. Like, they're not hanging out by the stadium yet. And this was just an ocean of people. Like, you're trying to drive through. And then I pulled in. I saw and they were like, hey, you got to make an announcement. People are already at the gates. And it was like an hour until the gates even opened. It's like, you guys got to get down here. Like, people were ready to go in. Again, I saw one guy in a Zach Wilson jersey, and I saw one guy when I pulled into the north lot. There was a guy in like this old beat ass like Jets jacket that I said it had to be owned by Rich Kotite, or he bought it during the Rich Kotite years. Like that had to be it. Like it was rough. And those were the only two Jets fans I saw the entire day. It is such a rarity. Like I told you, there were Cardinals fans. There was a gaggle of Cardinals fans. Might have been a dozen, but there were still more than two. And this was the most with it, that the most Browns lopsided at home I've ever seen it with a fan base.
Yeah, I wonder how many Jets fans, because I'm sure that was probably, you know, that game is a popular Christmas gift game, right? Mm-hmm. People are buying tickets. So how many, when the schedule came out, Jets fans bought their family members those tickets, and then after Aaron Rodgers goes down, goes, yep.
Yeah, that's it.
We're going to sell those things on the secondary.
But it was also weird because, like, the Bears game, there was definitely a large contingent of Browns fans. That Jags game, I told you, man, there was a bunch of different jerseys. Like, it just didn't seem – and maybe it's because they were – I think maybe some people were waiting for the other shoe to drop because they lost two in a row before they came home. Mm-hmm. And so they really didn't think much.
Boy, I think there's something there.
And we were doing Market Watch. And Market Watch, I remember it was like $9 a ticket or something like that.
Was that the Jacksonville game?
Well, that's one of those games where if you just live here for, you know, work or you're a fan. Like, for me, I would probably go to that game. And I don't ever wear brown stuff. I will wear a neutral color or I'll wear an orange shirt or something like that. But I would probably go to that game. I wouldn't wear my Chiefs jersey there.
No.
But a lot of people do that. A lot of people go, especially when you don't live near your team, you go to other games.
It was weird.
You know, Thursday was a perfect storm because you knew a win and you were in. So it was going to be a coronation. Second of all, people in from out of town that are from Cleveland, yeah, that live in Chicago, L.A., New York, Boston, Austin, all these places, they're home.
Kids,
they
on
are going to the game.
Winter break from college.
Regardless, yeah, of what the weather was going to be, and it turned out to be fine.
If you're going to Columbus, chilly, you're not worried about going to Dallas for that game, right?
Yeah.
You're going.
Yeah, so you were going to this game no matter what. That's why those ticket prices, they were always a little higher. You know, they weren't the Steeler prices, but they were always a little higher. And then once they won the previous game,
yeah,
I mean, you know, they jumped.
I looked Thursday morning, and it was 215, you know, to get in the door.
What would a playoff game cost at home? I mean, seriously.
A home
secondary market?
Game, 400. 400.
Yeah, I mean.
To go set row 40 of 537.
Yeah, I remember the first year changed by the time the Cavs were in their fourth straight NBA Finals.
Right.
That first year on flash seats, get-in price, worst seats in the house, was north of 450, close, yeah, to 500. Now, less seats, but you know there's a few games. You're at least getting two games, right? This case, I mean, this is it. If you had a home playoff game, this is it. This is the only one you get. Oh, I mean, I shouldn't say that. If you win and you have a higher seed, you have a chance to get another one. But, like, if you were the one seed.
Right.
I mean, my God, I can't even imagine what a conference championship game.
So if you win 4-5, who do you play after that?
You play whoever's left on the other side of the bracket.
I mean, you.
What do you mean?
You have to pool for the lower seeds. So, like, you need Buffalo to get in because Buffalo seems dangerous, right? All the national pundits are telling you that Buffalo's the dangerous team of
A month ago they said Sean McDermott needs to be fired.
Well, Buffalo could end up with a 2 seed.
But if they end up with the 6 seed, then they can come and still win because they will play 3. They could still win and somehow, you know, you need help, but being the top wild card seed at least gives you a chance to still have a home game. You need those lower seeds to win. I don't know if there's somebody going to come and somebody's going to have to upset Baltimore. And then I think the only thing you can host right now is the AFC Championship
game. The AFC Championship game. But how does that work? I got to be honest, I'm blanking on the format as much as I've talked about the playoff format.
Well,
what happens if you have a better record than Buffalo, but Buffalo is a higher seed?
Records don't matter.
So it's just seed. Buffalo, we cannot. If Buffalo's the 2 seed, you cannot host Buffalo.
Correct.
There you go.
Even though you have a better record than them.
Even though you have a better record.
Just so ridiculous.
It is.
So ridiculous.
It might be, but.
But if Buffalo is the 6 seed.
It's the system we have chosen.
If Buffalo gets in as the 6 seed.
Right. And how crazy will that. If that's AFC Championship game.
Oh, my God.
The team that's 3 hours away and is just as fanatical as you.
That would be as big as it gets. I mean.
That would be Devon calling for the tables or who.
It would be a tailgate off. Because you know there'd be some Bills fans. Not a lot. Not a lot would be getting in, man. You know, only like the rich ones.
Was it Mae Young they
powerbombed off? Yes. I would not put it past Bills fans to just go to Mall C and be like, I know we're not supposed to tailgate here, but we're doing
coming.
This.
Oh, my God.
Because that's what they do in Orchard Park. They just do it in yards.
And, you know, furthermore, this is a weird thing that I've found over time that I didn't know existed previously. I've lived back in Cleveland 12 years now. Because Cleveland's a bigger city than Buffalo. So the job market is actually a little better than it is in Buffalo. You got a bunch of Buffalo people that live here.
Yes. They went
to John Carroll and they stayed here.
Yep.
So my wife's cousin just married a guy from Buffalo, moved down here because of business, right? Is here and knows 70 Bills fans here.
And we love them, right? Yep. We don't get into fights with Bills fans.
Right.
We've always appreciated them.
It's all, yes.
Remember they were the one team other than Pittsburgh where their ownership supported the Browns during the time off and they welcomed us. So there's never been a rivalry really with the Bills. We had the one playoff game, Jim Kelly, we've talked about that. That's like one of the vivid memories of my childhood was that interception in the end zone by Clay Matthews.
Right.
I still get chills thinking about that.
Great pick.
But there hasn't been a hatred for the Bills. That would change.
Yeah, it would.
Get a playoff game.
Yeah, well, very, very significantly.
You guys see it. I used to wear those. I had 2 red Chiefs hoodies, and I wore them everywhere all the time. And I don't wear them as much in public now anymore. And it's not a shame thing or anything like that. Although they kind of suck this year. So
they suck.
They
suck at
10-6.
Yes,
it's unbelievable.
I mean, it is unbelievable when I look at message boards and people are like, look, guys, we got to make changes. But still. But I'm saying it does go from people used to always look at me and go, hey, we're kind of the same, right? Yeah. And then it became like, all right, we're done.
Yeah.
Enough of you.
Yeah.
We're done.
Well, plus you've been good enough for so long. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think people.
And that's where the, you know, the Browns have the potential. I don't want to look towards what the spring's going to bring and all that, but the Browns have a potential to be like enough of you in 3 or 4 years, right, for other fan bases, which would be, let me tell you, it's a great spot to be in.
That would be fun. That, I have to admit. Can I have one more observation about the game before I bring up the magic wand with you? Now, I've been very defensive of Al Michaels. Very defensive of Al Michaels. This is the thing that BSM picks up if they pick up anything. A lot of people took today off. I've been very defensive of Al Michaels. I watch Thursday Night Football. I go, come on, guys. Like, okay, he doesn't get excited over a couple of plays here and there, but
he's not Gus Johnson.
It's still, yeah, it's still Al Michaels. He's still a legend. Come on, let's all relax. I have to admit, though, now that my team has played on Thursday night and Al Michaels has been on the Thursday night call my team, it was a little frustrating when I don't know what to think over a interception or a fumble. Like, it wasn't David Njoku. There was another fumble. Was it Jerome Ford or somebody else? Who else fumbled? Somebody else fumbled. Kareem Hunt, Pierre Strong, anybody. Who fumbled? Somebody fumbled. It was another fumble. It was not just David Njoku. And he was so nonchalant about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. At this stage.
Yeah, he and is. I'm like, well, is it a fumble or not? Because usually there is an excitement going, ball's loose, and it's the, you know, and the Jets have it. Like, it's one of those things. And so now
last
I know
night,
how to
Chris
react.
Chris Fowler on that fumble in the fourth quarter when Alabama was up 7 and driving at, like, yeah, the 45, there was a fumble, and Chris Fowler, it was like his, I don't remember Chris Fowler being that good. He was amazing because you sense this was a huge moment. You're not getting that from Al Michaels at this point.
Yeah. Who was it?
Pierre Strong.
Pierre Strong. Yep. He fumbled it. And I don't get the excitement to know how to feel because it's like, well, is it fumbled or not? Well, we'll be back after this. And it's like, well, give me something here because I'm taking my notes and I got to know how to feel about this. Like, it messes with your emotions.
Right.
Because I'm sitting there going, man, this is a bad thing. This is really bad. Like when they, who was it who got the pick now? When Joe Flacco, and I wrote in my notes, I go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen Joe Flacco do. And then he and Jerome Ford made up for it the very next series with a 50-yard touchdown. But he threw that pick, and it was like it didn't sound like a big deal. And I'm going, this is a big deal. Yeah. This is, I mean, the Browns, remember they were driving before that pick. And it's 27-7. If they score, even if they make it 30-7, could you imagine what does 30-7 look like up on the scoreboard at halftime?
Do you think it's because Al Michaels has just done so much? He has authored some of the greatest moments literally in sports history. He's done so many NFL games that Browns, Jets, not going to move the meter for him.
But it's a playoff game. It's the NFL.
I know you got paid, and
I know
you're doing the signature game and Herb Street, and you've got a lot of people working on these games, a lot of people watching these games. Do you think it's hard for him to get up for at this stage of his career?
I hate to say it, but I think we'd be giving him way too much credit. I think that he may genuinely not know who has the ball on fumbles at that moment, where before he was able to pick up on it quicker. Yeah. I mean,
this happened to Don Creaky. Yes. How do you pronounce it?
We all get older. I'm not trying to say, because again,
he's not able to track as well on field stuff.
Yes.
Summerall struggled at the end.
He's an 80-year-old man.
Even Marv, doing the NBA games at the end, I still loved his voice on the games. He wasn't picking up on calls.
When you get burnt by those, so you have a spotter, right, for everything, and those guys probably have how many spotters up there, you know? Handling.
Oh, for Amazon? I mean, good God.
So you've got a spotter, and there's probably a point in his career where he's making that call, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the spotter says.
Right,
like,
right.
He's making the call. But there's, you know, I'm sure he's been burnt here in, you know, recent years.
He probably doesn't see as
well.
Now
you wait for the spotter to confirm you, and then maybe you wait for the guy to come out of the pile and have the ball in his hand, and you can clearly see the number on the jersey.
It might be just harder to recognize those things at nearly 80 years old. And so I really hope he's not above these games. I mean, you took your check. And you're still Al Michaels.
It seems like it. Well, I guess it wasn't him, but he's not doing the NBC game like he was supposed to.
No, which sucks. Well, it doesn't suck for Noah Eagle, and we like Noah Eagle because of it. Well, I mean, I think he's good too, but I like his. I like, obviously, you know, we're all huge fans of his father. So
for as much as it would be easy to resent Noah Eagle, he's done a pretty good job of making.
That's odd. I think a lot of people don't like Noah Eagle because of his father, and I'm the opposite. I was like, oh, this kid's good. You know, he's good. I like Noah Eagle.
What's crazy is my neighbor, who's retired across the street, 60-something years old, Chiefs and Raiders played Christmas Day, and it was on CBS, but it was also on Nickelodeon.
I didn't even know it was on Nickelodeon.
I didn't even think about it, but my neighbor comes over, and he's like, so, big game tomorrow, huh? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you watching the Nickelodeon broadcast? I'm like, probably not. Probably going to watch, you know, Old Faithful there on CBS. And he was like, that Noah Eagle, he is real. And he was like, you told me who he was.
He's fun.
And I did. I told him pretty early, like, oh, that's a son of a guy that we have on the show a lot and all that. And he was like, he is good.
Oh, I think really he's good. I think a lot of these guys, again, it's like they're made out in a factory. They all have the same phrases. Right. Limey, you and I have talked about it a bunch. It's almost like a conveyor belt of play-by-play guys. And it's like they're trying to be too cool. Like, they got to show off the kicks and things like that. And it's like, you're just trying to separate yourself from everybody, but there's nothing there. And I'm like, no, Eagle's actually fun. I think he's great. But I do think it helped a little bit because we like his dad so much. It's like, okay, well, we're going to like his son, too. We're going to like Noah, too. Which some people, a lot of people actually, has a reverse effect. I get very defensive. I've been very defensive of Al Michaels over the last couple of years. But I do know, I did notice, and I wrote it down in my observations during the game on Thursday, going, man, it is very hard to know how to feel in these moments, because I'm like, well, if Al Michaels isn't making a big deal about it, if they're not making a big deal about it, then it's still going to be our ball, no big deal. And so it plays with your emotions a little bit. That's all I'll say on it. I still love Al Michaels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's all I'll say on it. Okay, so the magic wand theory. We don't have much time. Ask people the question.
So on the heels of this amazing game we had last night between Alabama and Michigan, maybe it's the bad time to ask the question. But if you had a magic wand and you could take college football right back, and the year I'm going to choose is when Ohio State won the national championship in 2002, technically in 2003, would you go back to that era of college football? And what I mean by that is no NIL, no unlimited transfer portal, no expanded playoff, which is what we're going to get next year. You just get the BCS. You get one damn game. But the bowl season is back to what you knew the bowl season to be back then, which was awesome slate of games on New Year's Day. Still had your Rose Bowl. You still had the Orange Bowl. You still had the Sugar Bowl.
At the Nokia Sugar Bowl.
And the Fiesta Bowl.
Tostitos Fiesta
Bowl. Yeah. All the original sponsors as well. I don't know. Beef O'Brady's was edible. You, with a magic wand, you go right back to that era and that set of rules, or you have what you have really starting next year, but what you have now, which is new quarterback every year. You're not really recruiting high school like you are the rest of college football. You have players that are making more than most of your assistant coaches, you know, like the top players. Like, is that what you like? Do you like college football now more, or would you rather have it back then, even if you're not getting that awesome playoff?
All right. I think, judging by recruiting, I think there's 15 teams, based on recruiting alone, over the last year, this last cycle, that can say they have a chance at a national championship by 2025, 26. I don't think I could say that 10, 15 years ago, or in 2002. I don't think I can say that. Now, Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken, they started that season unranked. The 2002 Ohio State Buckeyes were unranked to start that season. And there'd be reasons for that, obviously. But I don't think that they were ranked. And if they were, they might have been 24th. There is a magic to the old days. I think the NCAA got exactly what they wanted out of this. I think that they wanted to open up the floodgates, give everybody this experience that they had been clamoring for, and now you're starting to see a lot of people. Bowls don't mean anything. bull season sucks now. Now everybody's jumping ship. And they're still getting skewered for it in their mentions, but I don't think there's as many people doing it as they used to. Because before, I think, again, there's certain things that I think a lot of people say because I think they want some run on social media. And I think pay the players and all that stuff is part of it. And I think that now you have this system where they just opened it to everything, and now you can't even pass any legislation on. Like, they wanted to kind of, what do they want to do to the transfer rule recently? It's like, well, you can't do that because they're not employees, so you can't stop them from leaving when they're not employees. Mm. And I think this is what the NCAA wanted, and I said this to you a couple years ago when they first did NIL. I go, the NCAA is going to be wanted, what their goal is they're going to want their institutions begging them to put regulation in. And what I think is going to happen, it's going to make everybody more money. It's going to make the top programs more money. But what I also think this is going to do, it's going to go, okay, we can't have, it's not good for business to have Enzo Lima, who is a five-star quarterback, go to Ohio State. He doesn't get the start. He pouts. He goes to the transfer portal, and then he starts at Georgia, or vice versa. He pouts at Georgia, ends up at Ohio State, and everything's fine. I think that those stories are good here and there, like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow didn't pout, but you get what I'm saying. I think those stories are good here and there, like Joe Burrow. I think that it becomes very tiresome, and I think a lot of people have already grown tired of that transfer portal stuff.
Oh, and also 2002, you get the old conferences back. You get the normal Big Ten, you get the Pac-12.
All right, well, now it kind of changes my thoughts and opinions. I didn't know about that. I kind of want to change back to the old way.
We got
to
bring this up on the air.
Okay, well,
bring back the Big East.
I like the geography. I like the geography.
Yeah, you ruined the Big East basketball, which is the coolest thing going.
Yeah, I mean, I like the geography of it. I'll just say now, I still like it this way, but I think there needs to be regulation. And I think that they need to do certain things to be able to have regulation.
Ken, always a big regulation guy when he goes to the voting booth. That's what he's thinking about.
You think you folks think you know me. If you could wave a magic wand and go back to 2002, would you do it?
And the Thursday night win over the New York Jets, was that an all-time Browns moment in Cleveland, Ohio? Sure seemed like it.
And I saw True Detective for the first time ever. We'll talk about it all on the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
Nah, I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. By the way, that open with the Sopranos, I asked you, I saw something on Twitter, because I follow a Sopranos person on Twitter. Have you seen Adriana lately?
No. You mentioned this earlier.
Holy smokes.
I didn't even have a chance to go watch it because I don't want to be distracted, because that certainly happens sometimes.
Better than what she looked like in the show. Congratulations to her.
So you know what? I'm not going to look it up now either.
I kind of want you to look it up on your, because I want to hear the live. Well, just look up on Instagram. It's fine. Okay. I want to hear the live reaction. Drea De Mateo, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes the names,
she was on Sons of Anarchy too.
Which I never saw, and I know a lot of people said it was really good.
People always have to remind me Meadows. Who played Meadow?
Meadow Lark Lemon.
Okay.
Meadow was, oh my God, she dated Turtle.
I know. That's why I'm like,
yeah.
Who is the son? Aren't they on a podcast together?
They are on a podcast together.
And I don't know their names.
I've seen it pop into my feed a couple times lately. And I have no clue what that is.
I think she does like a commercial for drugs. Or for like a drug you can take for something.
Here.
For fentanyl?
Hi, Anthony Lima for meth.
Hey, that's another member of the Lima family.
Damon Lynn Sigler.
You've seen.
Thank you. Did you look her up?
I did.
Well,
she's certainly
unbelievable.
Kept that physique.
Unbelievable.
Oh, she's got kids? Wow.
She's got children.
Oh my goodness.
Good for her. I mean, credit where it's due. We're equal opportunity. I mean, I'll
have
say,
a million followers. Yeah. All right.
That's amazing. I was like, what is this?
Yep.
It's like, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Brought to you by Extend.
I put phone down. Let's continue.
Sopranos? Where's it on your all-time shows?
I still have Mad Men number one.
Me too.
Breaking Bad number two. And again, I didn't see Game of Thrones, I didn't see Sons of Anarchy, and I'm probably not ever going to. I didn't see Dexter. That one I might. People have been telling me I should.
Dexter, I watched much later, and it was very good.
Yep.
I watched the first episode ever of True Detective over this last week.
So
the one where he goes, you better start asking the right bleeping questions.
This is Woody Harrelson.
And the first I didn't know they change people every season. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Kenny, this is all we've been doing. We skip season two based on 100% of people telling me, skip season two, go to season three. Went to season three with actor's name who I can never pronounce.
For which show?
Meshumbapalatin Ali.
Yep.
Oh, Mershala Ali.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mariska Hargitay.
This season three is amazing, and it's all leading up to now what will be a season four.
Also set up well.
That's going to debut at the end of January. So I don't know that I have a reason to go back to season two.
Yeah.
Maybe down the road.
That's where I'm kind
Vince
of excited. Vaughn
and Colin...
Firth.
Firth or Farrell or Firth?
Farrell.
I think Liz didn't understand because she's like, I want to see this show. It's about true crime, but it's an HBO show. And she didn't, because the characters change. And she didn't know because I was like, well, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, True Detective. Yeah. I watched the first
episode. They are so good.
Episode when you came in.
They are so good, Kenny. And the way it's shot, the way that the idea of revisiting with these guys at different times of their lives.
Yeah,
FX has been doing amazing. This stuff for a little while. I know this True Detective was. It started a while ago, right? Yeah. It was like right after Woody Harrelson won an Oscar, I think, for the Dallas Buyers Club thing. But I wanted to see. There's a new Fargo.
Yeah, I heard it's great,
and it's
I heard that. Yeah,
it's John Hamm is in it, and I want to see it because of that.
He's amazing.
Oh yeah,
I didn't see Fletch though.
The
redo.
I didn't either.
I want to. Oh, guess what movie I saw for the first time ever over the week.
Jurassic Park.
No, what? No. The Jerk.
I just started watching The Jerk.
I had never seen The Jerk.
It 2 weeks ago.
It must be showing up.
Yes. And I'm telling you, and I saw it for the first time ever, and I'm like, this is funny. Good stuff.
I'm about 40 minutes in.
It's the first time that I watched it when I was 18 or 19. Like, I watched Caddyshack then, too, and I was like, this isn't as good as my stuff.
Oh,
now I'm like, no, it's good.
I got there's a couple of guys I know who are older, and they're friends. And they're older, like their kids are in high school and stuff like that. And they had kids late in their lives, so they're like in their 60s now. And they get very agitated that I said, I've seen Animal House a couple times. Like, they do not believe that you can only see Animal House like twice. Like, they're always quoting Animal House. I'm like, well, that's great, but mine is probably, name any of the ones of mid to late 90s, early 2000s, and even some of those things have not held up as well, but are still classic comedy movies, things like that. The Happy Gilmores, the Billy Madisons, that type of thing, even though it's almost the same movie in a lot of ways. Either way, Tommy Boy, to me, Tommy Boy is my generation's Animal House in a lot of ways. Tommy Boy is just amazing. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's other people that hold it in their own high regard. Because, and now it's become the golden age, the last stand of comedy, because nobody makes comedies anymore. Because, they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. So nobody makes a good comedy anymore. So that's sad, but it's true. Anywho, I just want to know. Yeah, but I saw the first episode. I liked the first episode, but I know Liz isn't going to watch it with me. So now
Sarah, Sarah was into it, and I didn't think she would like it at all.
Liz was not.
Sarah doesn't like anything I like, and she's engrossed in True Detective.
I was surprised she wasn't interested. She didn't seem to be interested in it. And so I'm going to have to find time on my own to watch True Detective. All right, want to know. Thursday, we're brought to you by Extend. By the way, Thursday, this coming Thursday, I do 2 days from now, I do want to review The Wrestler. Wrestlers.
Yeah.
Okay? I saw it in one day. I was engrossed. We'll talk about it. I'm fighting everything I can not to just take the wheel of the truck and drive it right into Wrestlers and just do a Wrestlers thing. Was Thursday night the best night in Browns history since 1999?
So I'm so mad that I went to the two games prior and didn't go to this game. So I only have so many dates, as you guys know.
Yep.
House arrest. I got the ankle bracelet. I can't.
It's called fatherhood, Anthony. Stop calling it house arrest.
You call it whatever you want. All I know is my rights have been taken away from me.
It's called spouse.
My rights have been taken away from me, and I'm not permitted to leave the house, or I feel I'm guilt-tripped if I leave the house. With that said, Sarah allowed me to go to the Bears game, and that was on short notice.
Okay. And we got an invite, got a good spot.
We had a great time for that. And then the Jacksonville game.
She was
where
great.
Where I sat
that.
In a suite, and that was great.
Well, you make her out to be a bit of a.
But she did let me. Yeah, she let me.
Pain.
I couldn't reasonably, especially with her, she's 4 to 5 weeks out now. I couldn't reasonably take off another Sunday where she knows it's not just, oh, I'm going to go to the game from 1 till 4, I'm home at 4:15. No, if I go to a, or if that was a night game. So
right.
The night game starts at what time? 8:15?
Yeah, yep. But you need to get down there at what okay. time?
Oh, God, yeah.
She it knows, you know, the American people know, if you're letting me out of the house for that, I'm leaving at 4 and coming home at 2 in the morning.
The cat's away.
So there's just no way. So downtown. I didn't even bring it up as a possibility. I only have so many of these left before the second baby comes. It's not happening. I have great regret. I would have traded the other two games to go to that one. What a pep rally. To have a full night. I mean, I still left the house. I went over to Keith's house right across the street.
Yeah, you did.
And we watched down in his setup, and we had a blast. And I just sat there sipping bourbon going, I can't believe what I'm watching. Almost like the playoff game against Pittsburgh. Same exact scenario where in that game, maybe you thought we were going to lose. We talked ourselves into hoping we would win. This Jets game, we knew they were going to win
right.
from moment one.
Okay.
That said, though,
I didn't know it was going to be Patrick Mahomes Joe Flacco looking like Patrick Mahomes. I didn't know that.
There were a lot of people. I kept asking for reassurance because I had a weird feeling. It was Keith who gave me the reassurance of everybody. I had no reassurance from anybody else. I talked to a lot of people. They're like, yeah, no, man.
That defense, the Jets defense,
their defense
right?
is pretty good. But the reason I said, rallying around Salah, supposedly coming back next year. This is what sucks about not having a show leading up to that. Is I didn't get to say any of this on the air. I only got to say it in the pregame. But the pregame's the pregame.
It's like a little different.
Like I'm not going to sit there and go on a me style rant and rave and get in a fight.
You got things you have to do.
Yeah, during 8 minute segments where it's a pregame or even on the preview show. If I were with you, I got to make this point a little bit, but I didn't really get to nail it down. I'm going, guys, look at their rush defense. Their rush defense is 24th in the league.
You can't
People
run the ball
aren't passing
them.
On them because they don't have to.
Maybe you can't run
They're
on Houston.
Running the ball.
Maybe Jacksonville.
And what did Jerome Ford do? He was great. Oh, Pierre Strong was a fire plug. Kareem Hunt went right down the balls of things and went right to the end zone.
It opened up everything.
Yes. And I'm going, they're not. I go, their defense is good in name only. It's the same thing. They're going through the same frustration I think we did before. So one day it's going to click with the right person, obviously. But I think they're going through the same things we did where it's like, our pass defense is so good. Why is all this? And it's like, well, you're just, a lot of things aren't going the right way for you. Like we used to have, I remember the one time we were 7th in pass defense. And I kept making this point, and I'll give Zach credit. Zach's like, Kenny, the rush defense is 28th.
Yeah.
They're not having to throw the ball against you. Stop it. I was like 26 at the time. And so then I just, you see rankings. Rankings and numbers don't tell you everything. But when people see number 2 in pass defense, people freak out. I'm going, no, I watch the Jets. I do. I watch the Jets every week, and I shouldn't, but I do, even though they're definitely on the unwatchables list, guarantee it. And they were on probably the first iteration of that. I've watched the Jets every week because I find the Jets to be fascinating because I am so disgusted that they would have a franchise that just allows Aaron Rodgers to just dictate his terms any way he wants. You know, you can say whatever you want to about Watson. At least Watson has, like, there's a future there at 27 years old. Like, this is it with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And I just can't believe you would not allow yourself. I can understand you giving up everything, but I can't believe that you would just not have a plan B in case a 39-year-old man gets hurt.
They had Flacco last year. They said some very nice things out the door for Flacco, did they not?
Yes.
And sometimes that happens, sometimes that doesn't. It's tough to try to parse out and figure if it really means anything. But they really fondly thought of Flacco and what a pro he was. They must have truly thought that they couldn't have him there with Aaron Rodgers.
It didn't
make any sense.
And I'm just so fascinated by the whole thing. Like, everybody's like, people are starting to get tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers, and I understand that. But I'm fascinated by it. Like, I'm watching the game on Thursday night with Axel, and Axel's like, is he a coach? And I looked up, and he had a headset, and I'm like, no. But he had a headset on, and his mouthpiece, he's talking into the mouthpiece on the headset. He's talking to somebody. Who's he talking to? And I went, well, you know what? Honestly, X, by now,
Joe
maybe
Rogan.
Is. Maybe, okay, well done. Maybe he is. By now, who knows what they're willing to allow him to do. I mean, they put him on the active roster. Why would you put him on the active roster?
Yeah,
you cut a guy, and you want to bring him on the active roster. For what? So he can get his work in? Like, it's nonsensical.
Although it has built up, I want to see Aaron Rodgers next year.
Oh, yeah, easily, yes. But it's part of the reason I said this today on the show. That game crystallized. It was such a perfect look into what the Browns have become and what they used to be. Because the Jets, Aaron Rodgers went down, and everybody went, well, this is not our year. And they have been in Cancun in their heads for 3 months.
They were making business decisions very early in that game.
Yes.
So you knew. The Browns just had to not screw it up at that point.
Because, hey, we won on Sunday. Great win. And it's right. And because of my nerves, I didn't want to see it. Like, I didn't stop taking notes till there was like a minute 19 left. I'm going, they're not coming back from 3 scores and no timeouts in a minute 19, Kenny. This is over.
Yeah, there was a dicey moment where it was a 2-possession game.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, man, if something bad happens, this game could change. But in the end, you had a faith. Like, you had a faith in the team. So you asked the question about what it was like. So I told you, unfortunately, I wasn't down there. So
I was for the beginning.
So you got to be down there. My buddies, all to a man, said that was an all-time night. All-time Cleveland sports night. From the moment that that game started, from the great stuff the Browns, remember, they've had years of trying to find stuff that works, to try to start a tradition, to try to have a home field advantage, to get people synchronized on the same page for pregame stuff and then into the game. And whatever, all those years of us kind of making fun of it, it worked. That stuff looked great on camera.
Yeah.
Everybody that was there at the game, it looked like they stayed till the minute the game ended. It looked like the entire stadium stood from start to finish. And it really created, and you need a good team to do this. You need a team that you finally buy into. I don't know if they bought into them, you know, weeks ago when the place was, you know, kind of empty for some of those games. I think they have bought in because you need a good team to facilitate this. The fans were all in, and you sometimes you're like, oh, it didn't really bleed over onto the TV. Nope. In this case, you could tell watching at home
talking about it.
How awesome that environment was. Kirk Herbstreit could not stop talking about it. I felt bad for his dog at one point. I'm like, man, you got to put some earmuffs or something on that dog because you know he loves that dog, and it's got to be too loud for that dog. Yeah. And that dog goes everywhere with Kirk Herbstreit.
My uncle, I used to go to National Trail Raceway for the Spring Nationals, NHRA Spring Nationals. Well, by that time, they were called the Pontiac Excitement Nationals, and they would have the Spring Nationals in June, which is weird, but either way, for the Pontiac Excitement Nationals, I remember my uncle confronted somebody. They brought their dog.
Ooh, it's so sad.
We're talking 1,100 horsepower here, and it's like, this is a bad decision for you bringing your dog. Because my uncle didn't care. He was confrontational with everybody.
They did it on fireworks and gunshot night.
Probably not a good idea. My uncle was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because my uncle had poodles, and he was obsessed with those dogs. He had one named Randy and one named Buttons.
Randy?
Randy with an I.
Randy Buffington.
That show, Randy Buttons in the morning.
I mean, that dog, he loved those dogs. Anyway, sorry. But yeah.
So
great atmosphere.
It looked like an all-time atmosphere. And of course, you didn't have a playoff game at home for the Pittsburgh season, the year you go into Pittsburgh and win that game.
Since 99.
And what home games were really memorable that season? Again, COVID. It kind of hurt that entire era. So now you got to go almost outside of the Browns and compare it to Cavs and Indians, which I saw people were doing. And I don't think you need to sit there and go, this is better. But man, it was an all-time night, and I am so devastated that I ended up going to the Bears and Jacksonville games and not this game, because it should have been this one. I missed out.
So I got there, pregame started at 4:30. I pulled into downtown at 3:50, and I'm like, thank God I did not wait any longer, because it was, because you're off that week.
Who was working Friday? Well,
but other Unless people are working, and there. So there's people leaving downtown for work. There are people driving into downtown already. There's been people there partying all day.
If you've taken the week off from work because it's the end of the season for you or end of the year,
it was a madhouse.
You're coming down and hitting the bars.
It was people just walking out into traffic. Like, you're going down 9th at like 10 miles an hour, lower than that, creeping along, because people just, they were walking in traffic. Finally, they got some cops out there and kind of had some order. But for a while, it was nuts. So, like, pulling around the Hall of Fame, usually it's 8 a.m., so it's a ghost town. I mean, there's people there getting ready to go into the stadium to work.
On a Sunday, too. So,
yeah. But it's not, everybody's over at the Muni lot or at the pit already. Like, they're not hanging out by the stadium yet. And this was just an ocean of people. Like, you're trying to drive through. And then I pulled in, I saw it, and they were like, hey, you got to make an announcement. People are already at the gates. And it was like an hour until the gates even opened. It's like, you guys got to get down here. Like, people were ready to go in. again, I saw one guy in a Zach Wilson jersey, and I saw one guy when I pulled into the north lot. There was a guy in like this old beat ass like Jets jacket that I said it had to be owned by Rich Kotite, or he bought it during the Rich Kotite years. Like that had to be it. Like it was rough. And those were the only two Jets fans I saw the entire day. It is such a rarity. Like I told you, there were Cardinals fans. There was a gaggle of Cardinals fans. Might have been a dozen, but there were still more than two. And this was the most with it, that the most Browns lopsided at home I've ever seen it with a fan base.
Yeah, I wonder how many Jets fans, because I'm sure that was probably, you know, that game is a popular Christmas gift game, right? Mm-hmm. People are buying tickets. So how many, when the schedule came out, Jets fans bought their family members those tickets, and then after Aaron Rodgers goes down, goes, yep.
Yeah, that's it.
We're going to sell those things on the secondary.
But it was also weird because, like, the Bears game, there was definitely a large contingent of Browns fans. That Jags game, I told you, man, there was a bunch of different jerseys. Like, it just didn't seem – and maybe it's because they were – I think maybe some people were waiting for the other shoe to drop because they lost two in a row before they came home. Mm-hmm. And so they really didn't think much.
Boy, I think there's something there.
Yeah, and that we were doing Market Watch, and Market, I remember it was like $9 a ticket or something like that. Yes.
Was that the Jacksonville game?
Well, that's one of those games where if you just live here for, you know, work or you're a fan, like for me, I would probably go to that game, and I don't ever wear brown stuff. I will wear a neutral color or I'll wear an orange shirt or something like that. But I would probably go to that game. I wouldn't wear my Chiefs jersey there.
No.
But a lot of people do that. A lot of people go, dude, especially when you don't live near your team, you go to other games.
It was weird.
You know, Thursday was a perfect storm because you knew a win and you were in. So it was going to be a coronation. Second of all, people in from out of town that are from Cleveland, that live in Chicago, L.A., New York, Boston, Austin, all these places, they're home.
Kids
they
on
are going to the game.
Winter break from college.
Regardless of what the weather was going to be, and it turned out to be fine.
If you're going to Columbus, you're not worried about going to Dallas for that game, right?
Yeah.
You're going.
Yeah, so you were going to this game no matter what. That's why those ticket prices, they were always a little higher. You know, they weren't the Steeler prices, but they were always a little higher. And then once they won the previous game,
I mean,
you know, they jumped.
I looked Thursday morning and it was $2.15, you know, to get in the door.
What would a playoff game cost at home? I mean, seriously.
A home
secondary market?
Game,
400?
400.
Yeah, I mean.
To go set row 40 of 537.
Yeah, I remember the first year changed by the time the Cavs were in their fourth straight NBA Finals.
Right.
That first year on flash seats, get-in price, worst seats in the house, was north of 450, close to 500. Now, less seats, but you know there's a few games. You're at least getting two games, right? This case, I mean, this is it. If you had a home playoff game, this is it. This is the only one you get. Oh, I mean, I shouldn't say that. If you win and you have a higher seed, you have a chance to get another one. But, like, if you were the one seed.
Right.
I mean, my God, I can't even imagine what a conference championship game.
So if you win 4-5, who do you play after that?
You play whoever's left on the other side of the bracket.
I mean, you.
What do you mean?
You have to pool for the lower seeds. So, like, you need Buffalo to get in because Buffalo seems dangerous, right? All the national pundits are telling you that Buffalo's the dangerous team of
which a month ago they said Sean McDermott needs to be fired. And
well, Buffalo could end up with a 2 seed.
But if they end up with the 6 seed, then they can come and steal a win because they will play 3. They could steal a win and somehow, you know, you need help, but being the top wild card seed at least gives you a chance to still have a home game. You need those lower seeds to win. I don't know if there's somebody going to come and somebody's going to have to upset Baltimore. And then I think the only thing you can host right now is the AFC Championship
game. The AFC Championship game. But how does that work? I got to be honest, I'm blanking on the format as much as I've talked about the playoff format.
Well,
what happens if you have a better record than Buffalo, but Buffalo is a higher seed?
Records don't matter.
It's just seed. It's Buffalo, seeds. If Buffalo's a 2 seed, you cannot host Buffalo.
Correct.
Yeah. There you go.
Even though you have a better record than them.
Even though you have a better record.
Just so ridiculous.
It is.
But it's ridiculous.
It might be, but.
But if Buffalo is a 6 seed.
We have chosen.
If Buffalo gets in as the 6 seed.
Right. And how crazy will that. If that's AFC Championship game.
Oh, my God.
The team that's 3 hours away and is just as
folks,
fanatical as you.
That would be as big as it gets. I mean.
That would be Devon calling for the tables or who. It would be a tailgate off.
Because you know there'd be some Bills fans. Not a lot. Not a lot would be getting there, man. You know, only like the rich Paul ones.
Was it May Young they powerbombed off? Yes.
I would not put it past Bills fans to just go to Mall C and be like, I know we're not supposed to tailgate here, but we're doing coming.
Oh, my God.
Because that's what they do in Orchard Park. They just do it in yards.
And, you know, furthermore, this is a weird thing that I've found over time that I didn't know existed previously. I've lived back in Cleveland 12 years now. Because Cleveland's a bigger city than Buffalo, so the job market is actually a little better than it is in Buffalo. You got a bunch of Buffalo people that live here.
Yes. They went
to John Carroll and they stayed here.
Yep.
So my wife's cousin just married a guy from Buffalo, moved down here because of business, right? Is here and knows 70 Bills fans here.
And we love them, right? Yep. We don't get into fights with Bills fans. Right. We've always appreciated them.
It's all, yes.
Remember, they were the one team other than Pittsburgh where their ownership supported the Browns during the time off, and they welcomed us. So there's never been a rivalry, really, with the Bills. We had the one playoff game, Jim Kelly. We've talked about that. That's like one of the vivid memories of my childhood was that interception in the end zone by Clay Matthews.
Right.
I still get chills thinking about that.
Great pick.
But there hasn't been a hatred for the Bills. That would change.
Yeah, it would.
Get a playoff game.
Yeah, very significantly.
You guys see it. I used to wear those. I had two red Chiefs hoodies, and I wore them everywhere, all the time. And I don't wear them as much in public now anymore. And it's not a shame thing or anything like that. Although they kind of suck this year. So
they suck.
They
suck at
10-6.
Yes,
it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable when I look at message boards and people are like, look, guys, we got to make changes. But still. But I'm saying it does go from people used to always look at me and go, hey, we're kind of the same, right? Yeah. And then it became like, all right, we're done.
Yeah.
Enough of you.
Yeah.
We're done.
Well, plus you've been good enough for so long. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think people.
And that's where the Browns have the potential. I don't want to look towards what the spring's going to bring and all that, but the Browns have a potential to be like enough of you in 3 or 4 years, right? For other fan bases, which would be, let me tell you, it's a great spot to be in.
That would be fun. That, I have to admit. Can I have one more observation about the game before I bring up the magic wand with you? Now, I've been very defensive of Al Michaels. Very defensive of Al Michaels. This is the thing that BSM picks up if they pick up anything. A lot of people took today off. I've been very defensive of Al Michaels. I watch Thursday Night Football. I go, come on, guys. Like, okay, he doesn't get excited over a couple of plays here and there, but
he's not Gus Johnson.
It's still Al Michaels. He's still a legend. Come on. Let's all relax. I have to admit, though, now that my team has played on Thursday night and Al Michaels has been on the Thursday night call my team, it was a little frustrating when I don't know what to think over a interception or a fumble. Like it wasn't David Njoku, there was another fumble. Was it Jerome Ford or somebody else? Who else fumbled? Somebody else fumbled. Kareem Hunt, Pierre Strong, anybody. Who fumbled? Somebody fumbled. It was another fumble. It was not just David Njoku. And he was so nonchalant about it.
Oh, yeah. At this stage.
I'm like, well, is it a fumble or not? Because usually there is an excitement going, ball's loose, and it's the Jets have it. Like, it's one of those things. And so now
last
I know
night,
how to
Chris
react.
Chris Fowler on that fumble in the fourth quarter when Alabama was up 7 and driving at the 45. There was a fumble, and Chris Fowler, it was like his, I don't remember Chris Fowler being that good. He was amazing because you sense this was a huge moment. You're not getting that from Al Michaels at this point.
Yeah. Who was it?
Pierre Strong.
Pierre Strong, yep. He fumbled it, and I don't get the excitement to know how to feel because it's like, well, is it fumbled or not? Well, we'll be back after this. And it's like, well, give me something here because I'm taking my notes and I got to know how to feel about this. Like, it messes with your emotions because I'm sitting there going, man, this is a bad thing. This is really bad. Like when they, who was it who got the pick now? When Joe Flacco, and I wrote in my notes, I go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen Joe Flacco do. And then he and Jerome Ford made up for it the very next series with a 50-yard touchdown. But he threw that pick. And it was like it didn't sound like a big deal. And I'm going, this is a big deal. Yeah. This is, I mean, the Browns, remember they were driving before that pick. and it's 27-7. If they score, even if they make it 30-7, could you imagine what does 30-7 look like up on the scoreboard at halftime?
Do you think it's because Al Michaels has just done so much? He has authored some of the greatest moments literally in sports history. He's done so many NFL games that Browns, Jets, not going to move the meter for him.
But it's a playoff game. It's the NFL.
I know you got paid, and
I know
you're doing the signature game at Herb Street, and you've got a lot of people working on these games, a lot of people watching these games. Do you think it's hard for him to get up for at this stage of his career?
I hate to say it, but I think we'd be giving him way too much credit. I think that he may genuinely not know who has the ball on fumbles at that moment, where before he was able to pick up on it quicker. Yeah. I mean,
this happened to Don Creaky. How do you pronounce it?
We all get older. I'm not trying to say, because again,
he's not able to track as well on field stuff.
Yes,
Summerall struggled at the end.
He's an 80-year-old man.
Even Marv, doing the NBA games at the end, I still loved his voice on the games. Even he wasn't picking up on calls.
When you get burnt by those, so you have a spotter, right, for everything, and those guys probably have how many spotters up there, you know, handling.
Oh, for Amazon? I mean, good God.
So you've got a spotter, and there's probably a point in his career where he's making that call, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the spotter says.
Right,
like,
right.
He's making the call, but there's, you know, I'm sure he's been burnt here. And you know, recent years
probably doesn't see as
well. Now you wait for the spotter to confirm you, and then maybe you wait for the guy to come out of the pile and have the ball in his hand, and you can clearly see the number on the jersey.
It might be just harder to recognize those things at nearly 80 years old. And so I really hope he's not above these games. I mean, you took your check, and you're still Al Michaels.
It seems like it. Well, I guess it wasn't him, but he's not doing the NBC game like he was supposed to.
No, which sucks. Well, it doesn't suck for Noah Eagle, and we like Noah Eagle because of it. Well, I mean, I think he's good too, but obviously, you know, we're all huge fans of his father. So
it would be easy to resent Noah Eagle, he's done a pretty good job of making.
That's
sure
odd.
Of it.
I think a lot of people don't like Noah Eagle because of his father, and I'm the opposite. I was like, oh, this kid's good. You know, he's good. I like Noah Eagle.
What's crazy is my neighbor, who's retired across the street, 60-something years old, Chiefs and Raiders played Christmas Day, and it was on CBS, but it was also on Nickelodeon.
I didn't even know it was on Nickelodeon.
I didn't even think about it, but my neighbor comes over, and he's like, so, big game tomorrow, huh? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you watching the Nickelodeon broadcast? I'm like, probably not. Probably going to watch, you know, Old Faithful there on CBS. And he was like, that Noah Eagle, he is real. And he was like, you told me who he was.
He's fun.
And I did. I told him pretty early, like, oh, that's a son of a guy that we have on the show a lot and all that. And he was like, he is good.
Oh, I think really he's good. I think a lot of these guys, again, it's like they're made out in a factory. They all have the same phrases. Right. Lima, you and I have talked about it a bunch. It's almost like a conveyor belt of play-by-play guys. And it's like they're trying to be too cool. Like, they got to show off the kicks and things like that. And it's like, you're just trying to separate yourself from everybody, but there's nothing there. And I'm like, no, Eagle's actually fun. I think he's great. But I do think it helped a little bit because we like his dad so much. It's like, okay, well, we're going to like his son, too. We're going to like Noah, too. Which some people, a lot of people, actually has the reverse effect. I get very defensive. I've been very defensive of Al Michaels over the last couple of years. But I did notice, and I wrote it down in my observations during the game on Thursday, going, man, it is very hard to know how to feel in these moments, because I'm like, well, if Al Michaels isn't making a big deal about it, if they're not making a big deal about it, then it's still going to be our ball, no big deal. And so it plays with your emotions a little bit. That's all I'll say on it. I still love Al Michaels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's all I'll say on it. Okay, so the magic wand theory. We don't have much time. Ask people the question.
So on the heels of this amazing game we had last night between Alabama and Michigan, maybe it's the bad time to ask the question. But if you had a magic wand and you could take college football right back, and the year I'm going to choose is when Ohio State won the national championship in 2002, technically in 2003, would you go back to that era of college football? What I mean by that is no NIL, no unlimited transfer portal, no expanded playoff, which is what we're going to get next year. You just get the BCS, you get one damn game, but the bowl season is back to what you knew the bowl season to be back then, which was awesome slate of games on New Year's Day, still had your Rose Bowl, You still had the Orange Bowl. You still had the Sugar Bowl.
I had the Nokia Sugar Bowl.
And the Fiesta Bowl. And the
Tostitos Fiesta
Bowl. Yeah. All the original sponsors as well. I don't know. Beef O'Brady's was edible. You, with a magic wand, you go right back to that era and that set of rules. Or you have what you have really starting next year, but what you have now, which is new quarterback every year. You're not really recruiting high school like you are the rest of college football. You have players that are making more than most of your assistant coaches, you know, like the top players. Like, is that what you like? Do you like college football now more, or would you rather have it back then, even if you're not getting that awesome playoff?
All right. I think, judging by recruiting, I think there's 15 teams, based on recruiting alone, over the last year, this last cycle, that can say they have a chance at a national championship by 2025, 26. I don't think I could say that 10, 15 years ago, or in 2002. I don't think I could say that. Now, Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken, they started that season unranked. The 2002 Ohio State Buckeyes were unranked to start that season. And there'd be reasons for that, obviously. But I don't think that they were ranked. And if they were, they might have been 24th. There is a magic to the old days. I think the NCAA got exactly what they wanted out of this. I think that they wanted to open up the floodgates, give everybody this experience that they had been clamoring for, and now you're starting to see a lot of people. Bowls don't mean anything. Bowl season sucks now. Now everybody's jumping ship. And they're still getting skewered for it in their mentions, but I don't think there's as many people doing it as they used to. Because before, I think, again, there's certain things that I think a lot of people say because I think they want some run on social media, and I think pay the players and all that stuff is part of it. And I think that now you have this system where they just opened it to everything, and now you can't even pass any legislation on it. Like, they wanted to kind of, what do they want to do to the transfer rule recently? It's like, well, you can't do that because they're not employees, so you can't stop them from leaving when they're not employees. Mm. And I think this is what the NCAA wanted, and I said this to you a couple years ago when they first did NIL. I go, the NCAA is going to be wanted. What their goal is they're going to want their institutions begging them to put regulation in. And what I think is going to happen, it's going to make everybody more money. It's going to make the top programs more money. But what I also think this is going to do, it's going to go, okay, we can't have, it's not good for business to have Enzo Lima, who is a five-star quarterback, go to Ohio State. He doesn't get the start. He pouts. He goes to the transfer portal, and then he starts at Georgia, or vice versa. You go, he pouts at Georgia, ends up at Ohio State, and everything's fine. I think that those stories are good here and there, like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow didn't pout, but you get what I'm saying. I think those stories are good here and there, like Joe Burrow. I think that it becomes very tiresome, and I think a lot of people have already grown tired of that transfer portal stuff.
Oh, and also 2002, you get the old conferences back. You get the normal Big Ten, you get the Pac-12.
All right, well, now it kind of changes my thoughts and opinions. I didn't know about that. I kind of want to change back to the old way.
We got
to
bring this up on the air.
Okay, well,
bring because back the Big East.
I like the geography.
Yeah, you ruined the Big East basketball, which is the coolest thing going.
I mean, I like the geography of it. I'll just say now, I still like it this way, but I think there needs to be regulation. And I think that they need to do certain things to be able to have regulation.
Ken, always a big regulation guy. When he goes to the voting booth, that's what he's thinking about.
You think you folks think you know me?